Well, they say staying up late at night can be hazardous to your health. Oh, well. Well, I'm seeing it again, and it always happens. There's always a major event when I start seeing people acting weirds. And, you know, Jim Berkland, former geologist who looks at earthquake trends, and he looks in the paper for missing pet reports, and then he predicts his earthquakes, and he's very accurate. I happen to look at trends with people, and they're acting strange, even during the holiday season. Very weird. Maybe you've seen it. If you want to share some of those stories with us, let's do it. We've got an hour of open lines here. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hey.
All right. This is Al from Cleveland.
Okay, Al. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. First-time caller.
What finally got you provoked to call?
Yeah, you know, things and people are acting strange. I think it all has to do with the economy.
Yeah, they're uptight.
Yeah.
Very tense.
Well, I am, and, you know, because I've been going through some stuff. I had a stroke back in July.
Tell me about that. Now, where were you when this happened?
I was at home. This was my second stroke.
Okay. And what's the symptoms of that? I mean, what were you, how did you feel?
I couldn't keep my balance. I felt like I was going to fall down.
Like almost like you're drunk or something. Just
yeah.
So
and my sister's a nurse. I called her up. I says, I think I may have another stroke.
Does it take long? I mean, is there a tingly feeling?
Well, no. No. I mean, it's just dizziness. I just felt weird.
Okay. And how long? Okay. So it stays a couple days.
Yeah.
But you're in the hospital right away, I guess, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And
yes.
How do they treat you? Just with everything? Blood thinners?
Blood thinners, you know, a lot of heparin. Heparin every day.
Yeah.
And they get you into therapy. You know, I lost some of my abilities on the left side.
Yeah. So that's still tough for you.
Yeah, so now I'm waiting for disability to come through and start up. My vision has gotten really poor, and I've become legally blind because of it.
So how long is it going to take you to get your disability?
Well, it's in process, so it should be another couple of months.
All right, well.
But in the meantime, you know, I mean, I've been worried because, you know, I'm one of the statistics with the foreclosures and the subprime lenders. And
so you're getting it from all angles.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm like freaking out.
How old are you?
Just 47.
Oh, yeah, you're young. You're young.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll get through this.
Oh, sure. Everybody's had their ups and downs. I have, believe me.
Yeah, I want to keep a positive attitude, you know.
Keep
playing. I can't drive anymore, so my car's for sale. You know, figure why keep the car. Get rid of it. Get rid of the insurance payment. I can get around on public transportation.
Well, take the posture. Every day could be your last, and it's a gift every day.
Well, I think I'm grateful every day my feet hit the floor.
You got that right. Thanks.
Thank you, George.
I mean, I'm the same way when I wake up. Hallelujah, here I am. Wild Card Line, you're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George.
Hi.
Hey, Patrick in Fort Worth.
Hey, Patrick, what's
up? I'm an anthropologist, and I basically follow people and culture. And I'm pretty much an outcast from my profession. I agree pretty much with your previous guest, and you know, I'm over in a corner. They don't even like to talk to me and the educational institutions. But what we're seeing here is a number of things. I've studied middle schools throughout the world, and their cultures, everybody's culture is being radically changed because of the economics. They're being forced out of their normal culture and forced into, like, city life and to other things that they're not familiar with. Plus, our food's bad, and we're being poisoned, you know, from our agriculture, and that's why you see so many people that are obese. I mean, it's just the food is bad, and you don't get good nutrition. And then there's medications, and they seem to be taking a huge toll, especially in the United States, on the young people. But you check these people that suddenly commit these horrible crimes. The man will kill his family.
Oh, they're all on some prescribed thing.
They're usually connected. They've been on a drug, or they've taken themselves off a drug that's an antidepressant. And plus, our culture completely is not familiar anymore, and we're very uncomfortable, and this is worldwide. It's going on worldwide, pressure to change all the cultures, and it's like an evil force.
Well, you can feel it.
Yes, you can. Yeah, you can feel it. I mean, I can document it. That's the thing is, you know, it doesn't mean anything if it doesn't fit into a data set as far as my profession goes. And I can document it.
Okay, thanks for that call. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I'm so proud to be on your show.
Well, thanks.
I'm only 23, and I've been listening to you since I graduated high school.
We're proud to have you on the show. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Vancouver, Washington.
Okay.
My name is Jennifer.
All right, Jen.
And I had an experience two Halloweens ago I wanted to share. I was out trick-or-treating in my neighborhood, and I came across this guy. I don't know him from Adam. I've never seen him before in the community.
All right.
And I haven't seen him since. I live in a pretty small city, and I was out trick-or-treating, like I said, and I looked at him, and he looked at me, and we just hissed at each other like we were just, like, wanted to, like, kill each other, but we didn't even know who we are.
Like two mad cats.
Yeah, but it was more along the lines of, like, you were in my territory, and I'm, like, going to, like, beat the crap out of you. We just hissed at each other, and we walked away.
Why were you in that mood?
I don't know. I wasn't until
you saw him.
Yeah.
That's weird. Very weird. Next up, Wildcard Line. You're on the air. Hi.
Hello.
Yep. Welcome.
Hi. My name is Peter.
Peter.
And I have two comments about what people are so unstable, and that is that they have a sense that their world is going to be destroyed, and they don't know what to do about it. And the other one is related to your first person you had interview with, but it relates, which is that if his knowledge was true, then the Druids could have defeated the Roman armies. But the thing is, there's no really true spiritual knowledge in the world on a mass level. So that's the problem.
So how do you fix it?
How do you fix it? First of all, you understand something, that before anything physical happens, it has to happen in your energy fields and in your invisible bodies. Okay? And unless a thing develops in your invisible bodies, it can't happen physically. So therefore, mastery of your invisible bodies enables you to control your future. Once you get to mastery of your inner bodies, you become a rock in the wall of the Creator, and you emit invincible power, okay? Now, everything that is true evolves from an absolute necessity, which is spirituality didn't evolve with pretty phrases or anything like that. Spirituality evolved out of the necessity to have power over the insane aspects of materiality. So true spirituality can annihilate the New World Order, can annihilate all the forces that are causing instability in the planet. Also, you have to understand something. The battle that's going on the Earth is not between humans and humans, like not between like regular humans and the oil people and so forth and so on.
Who's it between?
It's between the ultimate forces, the ultimate Creator, and those who rebelled against the ultimate Creator. And that is deciphered in the word the origin.
All right. I got to move on. Thanks. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Good morning, George.
Sounds like good morning, Vietnam.
Oh, something like that, but fortunately, we lost the war back in 1864, so I can't really say that.
Well, we lost a couple of them, didn't we, along the line?
Yep, and a couple of them that are probably still going on. We're probably just not too attuned to.
Yeah,
but, George,
yep.
I had called you about 2 years ago when you had the doppelganger line and shared my story, and I'd like to thank you very much for giving me a nickname that night that stuck ever since.
What did I call you?
You called me Sheriff Micah.
Oh, that's right. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was. And I tell you what, I've been an avid listener ever since. My heart out to Art Bell and everything he's gone through, because I've been listening since 96. You know, you kind of you stay somewhere with somebody when you hear that voice out in the dark in the
family.
Night.
It's family. And now people call you Sheriff Micah?
Well, a couple of my buddies around the beach did, because I was living up in Myrtle Beach at the time, and they were at Coast to Coast AM listeners because of me. I'd turn a lot of people on basically for the Ghost to Ghost Fridays. But the reason I called you, George, is I've stumbled onto something very, very conspiracy, almost conspiracy type.
All right, what is that?
I made a video back in 2002 of the Santee River in just inside Georgetown County in South Carolina.
Okay.
And didn't think nothing of it. Went home. I watched my video with a friend the next day, and we said some words I won't repeat on the air, so you don't have to use the bleep button.
Good
but
man.
There was a 150-pound black panther looking right at me in my video.
And you had no idea it was there.
Not a clue. Now, I'm calling it a panther only because I've spent the last 4 years, 12,000 hours on the internet researching this subject, about another, you know, God only knows how many, going to my local libraries, going and meeting people and other people that have had sightings. And I even took a copy of the tape to my Department of Natural Resources. And when they viewed the tape, they agreed that it was approximately 150 pounds. It was a black mammal. And going by the list that they had, it was either a bear or a wild hog. And that's of known sustained breeding species in the state of South Carolina. I had grown up listening to the tales of black panthers, and I thought nothing of it. I didn't think there was going to be that much controversy other than, wow, somebody finally caught one on video. But it's turned into a little more than that. I dare say there's a curse along with that creature.
So maybe it's not a physical creature at all.
Well, it's showing up. I had the video enhanced also, and it showed up on negative imagery as having a possible, and I only say possible because DNR seems to think that it's just leaves and mud and twigs, but it has a possible spotted formation under its black coat. Now, George, I could give you I know I want to be very careful about what I say on the air, but I can give you the way to connect to it on YouTube, because I just recently put an edited form on YouTube.
I'll tell you what, then. Why don't you give it to Tom, and we'll take a look at it, and maybe we'll put a little clip with your permission up there. And Lauren Coleman, our cryptozoologist, has talked about some of these creatures roaming the countryside as well. If it was real, you're lucky you didn't get attacked. Let's go to our wild card line. You're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yes, welcome to the show.
Okay, I've been listening for a long time. I've also been working all my life, paying taxes into the system.
Sure.
And the debate continues on about the federal income tax, its legitimacy, or, on the other hand, whether we should be doing our part to support our country. As Ronald Reagan said, not a penny of what we spend on federal income tax goes to our infrastructure. It all goes to pay the federal deficit. Well, I've been studying it for a while, and I've been paying attention to everything I can. And it seems to me that the debt owed that is being paid by the American people was not incurred by any individual people whatsoever.
No, not at all. It's not our fault. It's their fault.
Right. And I, like you, appreciate you very much. By the way, you're doing a fine job recently. You've just really seemed to really capture the critical questions with whatever guest you have. And the last guest was absolutely magnificent. So that's the kind of show that really is going to open people's eyes. But I would like to make one solid point on this debate. It goes from the extreme of the people that, on the one hand, wonder about the legitimacy of it, to the people, on the other hand, who say we have to do our part, each one of us. We all agree with that. But if we find out that President Woodrow Wilson said that he did the worst thing of his career by signing into law the dominance of the Federal Reserve over the American financial system, I think we can trust that man, having been a president of the United States of America. to be giving us valid information. Well, I think the debate now, the way it stands, is way off track, because if we can establish the fact that, in fact, we've all been put over the barrel, then I think the common points that are often made are whether we're getting beat with a red stick or we're getting beat with a blue stick. The point is, we're getting beat, and we're getting beat bad.
They're always doing that to us, and the secret is we have to become more aware of it. You are, and we need more people, too. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi.
Go ahead.
George, are you talking to me?
I don't know whom he is anymore.
Hello?
Do you? I don't know. Do you?
George?
Where is he? And then I was looking out the window, but I don't know what happened. Some of these people, they call Coast to Coast, but they never know they're on.
Hello, 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 George?
You can't hear me at all?
I can, but I don't know if you're talking to me.
Of course I'm talking to you. You're the only one there.
I'm sorry. Hi, George. Yes. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I was just listening to your conversation with Michael...
Tessarian.
Tessarian, yes. And the subjects that he was hitting on, I'm reading a book right now called The Biggest Secret from David Icke.
Yes. We just had David on a few weeks ago.
Oh, did you? Well, because I've been reading the book, it's so fantastic. I'm thinking, is this true writings? Is this, you know?
Well, yeah, I think David does a tremendous job researching his work, and I think he's very accurate at what he does.
Uh-huh.
It's scary. Now, I mean, I think the most far-fetched thing that he comes up with is the old theory of the reptilians.
Right.
Know, and people shape-shifting and things like that, but... by and large, he's been pretty right on.
Well, you know, a while back, I was talking to you, and I've been listening to you since a couple of years now, but I remember this one fellow came on your show and had said he was over by a beach or something. It was in the evening, and he saw two reptilian-type people coming out of the water or near the water.
Yeah, and I asked him, are you sure there weren't people with costumes? He said, no, they didn't look like costumes.
Right, and they were, like, talking among each other, and, you know, it was just kind of eerie. Well, I notice, or I've been feeling, like you said, something is going on. And with this 2012 that's coming up, you know, it's supposed to be some kind of illumination. Well, from reading this book, it talks about the one world power.
Absolutely. And then, of course, David went on to say that it's starting now. I'll be back. We'll take final phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. A National Treasure Book of Secrets comes out with Nicolas Cage soon. And I was looking at the trailer today on the internet, and there I was. Now, I was somewhat surprised about that because they had interviewed me sometime in the summer out here in Los Angeles, and I forgot all about it. You know, I thought they were going to put it in some little clip or something, but no, it's all over the trailer. And I don't know how many trailers they have, but it's out there for a National Treasure. It should be a pretty fascinating show. Back in a moment with final calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Let's go right back to the calls. Let's go to our wild card line, first of all. Hello there. Good morning.
Good morning, George.
Hi.
My name's William, Southern California, just up the road from you.
Hey, William.
Got a question for you.
Sure.
Are you planning on having anybody from that's a Nostradamus expert coming on anytime soon?
Probably John Hogue again or someone else, someone different who hasn't been on the program before.
The reason why I ask, I was watching, believe it was the Discovery Channel or maybe it was the History Channel, one or the other, but they had a lost book of Nostradamus. I'm not sure if you heard about it.
Yes, I sure did.
There's 13 or 12 signs that we go by, Capricorn, so on and so forth. Well, apparently there's a 13th sign, and it's right toward the center of the galaxy. In 2012, they talked about that we should be lined up with the 13th sign right there toward the Milky Way. And that's supposed to end right there at 2012. And they've got a feeling that there's going to be something coming out at the center of the galaxy coming our way. Now, I've heard a lot of your shows talk about the Pope has his own telescope looking up into the sky.
They sure do. Vatican has a huge observatory. They have one here in this country, and they've got another one in Italy.
I wonder if they're actually watching toward the middle of the galaxy, and they know something that they're not wanting to
know. Well, you know, if you look at the book of Revelation, it talks about wormwood, whatever this object might be. We always suspected that they were looking at it.
So I'm wondering if you could get somebody that knows a little bit about that lost book, because it left me so many questions and not enough answers.
I understand. Thanks for the call. Next up, west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Me?
Me?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Do you know how many me's we've had on the program tonight?
No, I'm just sorry.
Everybody's named me. It's amazing. Incredible coincidence. But,
I like your show. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
How's your baby?
Oh, my little grandchild, Gavin, as well. I'm going to see him in a few days.
Oh, good. Happy. Congratulations. I really enjoy your show. I wanted to tell you, I don't know why, but I get the feeling that a lot of times, you know, the doctors pass out pills for all sorts of medication, you know, all sorts of ailments, and I just get the feeling that they aren't interested in our well-being. They aren't interested in healing us and caring for us and making us whole and, you know, and helping us. Their objection is to just kill off the population, kill off whoever they can, and make for insurance or whatever, for the money, whatever they get, you know.
Well, I would say most doctors are caring. There are some who take the words of the pharmaceutical companies because it's easier, and they just pass them on. You know, a long time ago, a lot of medical practitioners were kind of paid a little bit more money if they pushed, almost like a commission, if they pushed a certain pharmaceutical. That practice has apparently stopped.
I don't think so. Not quite, no. But I've noticed that when I'm taking my vitamins, I've noticed that some kind of a chalky, it's like a white chalky filament gets inside of it. And I don't know how it gets in there, but it's just the odd thing.
That's probably the old binder, I guess, don't you think? First time caller line, you're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Hi.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Yeah, this is Daryl from Knoxville, Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
I was talking about, you was talking about some strange awareness things, like the difference in the people. I think there's a lot of modernization. There's just like a lot of people building, you know, there's a lot of building here.
Maybe cell phones are doing it to us.
Yeah, I'm on a cell phone. That's my main source. But I think a lot of people are working now, like double jobs. And I think it's too why they get aggravated. Plus, they got more. I'd say parents were a lot different in the 80s than they were like they are now. And they had different things to deal with than they do now.
Well, that's possible. They went through a different kind of life. But, you know, things weren't as complicated then as they are today.
Oh, yeah.
They had it simpler. They didn't make as much money, but they had it simpler.
Yeah.
All right, thanks. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, good morning, George.
Morning.
This is Chantel from Michigan, the Angel Lady.
Yes. Hi, Angel Lady.
And I was just calling regarding your question of, you know, the feeling that everyone is having. And my colleagues and I have all pretty much, to quote George Lucas, we all feel the disturbance in the force, as it were.
Something's out of kilter.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, people are a lot more intuitive than they give themselves credit for. And the feeling that we're getting, and my colleagues and I all agree, is not to be doom and gloom, is very similar to a feeling that a lot of us got before 9/11. And it's not to say that, oh, the sky is falling. And even if it is, it won't be the end of the world. It just means that things are going to change. Things changed with 9/11. Life ended as we knew it, and a new life began. after 9/11. And whatever event that is coming to us now, again, the old will die out and the new will come in. It's not a matter of us running for cover as it is for as a matter of us preparing for whatever is coming our way. So it's not, you know, it may be, we may feel off kilter, there may be a disturbance in the force, but it's natural. We're just feeling, we're going with the flow. We're intuitive creatures, and we feel what's going on, and we feel that something is coming. We're just unnerved because we don't know what.
You
got to
call in for me on Christmas, Angel Lady, all right?
I promise I will.
You got that. Tell us something angelic. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, have you heard of the Princeton study that was done a few years back, how the, when they hacked the voting machines?
Yeah, we've heard about that. We've been doing programs on hacking into the, we call it the black box voting. Yeah, what's...
All right, well, yeah, I was wondering if we're going to, like, address this issue at all or just use the same machines as before. And...
There's still a problem with that, believe it or
yeah.
not.
And yeah.
We'll get Catherine Harris back on, who's one of our experts, I believe, on that. Let's go next to, or it is Catherine Harris, isn't it? Or was she the person running for office in Florida? We'll have to check. My mind is going. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Morning.
Hi.
Morning, George.
Yes, sir.
Hi, it's Greg in Cape Cod.
Hey,
not
Greg.
Me.
Yeah, you're not a me.
Nope. I was just calling to let you know, especially your caller that you just had earlier, about his big cat sighting or Black Panther. That it's ironic. History Channel tonight, on their new show called Monster Quest, did a whole hour on that, you know, bizarre black cat, huge, showing up in areas where it's not supposed to be, and they think it's even, you know, maybe a different animal altogether, like you were suggesting.
Yes, a so creature that has never been identified yet.
That's right. Just thought I'd pass that out there.
All right. Thanks a lot, my cryptozoology team, west of the Rockies. You're
yes.
on the air. Hi.
Hi there. This is Charles from Berkeley, California.
Sure.
I've actually been on the air with you before, but that's some time ago.
That's right. Beverly Harris was her name, by the way. Black box voting, not Catherine Harris.
There you go.
I knew it was Harris.
Anyway, the point I wanted to make is I see a phenomenon that I call commoditized chaos, and let me explain what that is. Your anthropologist, I called him a little while ago, he had it sort of right. We're seeing the entire global population being shifted away from rural areas into cities, into very high compression population areas. Many sort of traditional values are disappearing. The family's falling apart all over, wherever this is, in Asia, here in America, Europe, et cetera. There's a huge shift going on. And for many people, this is extremely disorienting. But then you map that against what I call the new information age, where anybody from anywhere can see anything they want to see by simply going on the Internet. And people are asking questions. They're probing. They're not believing what they're being told, as they have for many generations past. They actually question much of what's around them. So you have a combination.
And they share information back and forth.
Like on your program. As yeah. I said, I've been in your program before. And so the whole point is this. For many, this is so disorienting, they want to rebel. They want to upset the alpha cart, which is for good reason in many cases. And there is a kind of a global or world order sort of the thing that's taking place. So, in a sense, for those individuals, the Illuminati, whatever you want to call them, who see their delusions of grandeur, their world, you know, empire scheme kind of falling apart.
Chipping away.
Yes. And what they want to do is they want to keep everybody on edge. They want to keep them so panicked about their own personal circumstance, about their economic situation, et cetera, that for them, commoditized chaos is the most valuable commodity they can invoke upon the world. And so people are sensing this. They don't understand exactly what's causing it, but they know something's afoot. That's how I see it.
And you may be absolutely right. First time caller line, take it away. Hi.
Hello, is it me?
Yeah. Another person named me. This must be a huge family.
This is Robert. I'm from Laredo, Texas.
Hey, Robert.
I want to tell you a story about Johnny Cash.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know you really like Johnny
yes,
Cash.
Yes, I do.
I was raised in a town about 10 miles from where he was born. And back in the 70s, we had a parade one time. He came to the town, little town, about 2,000 people. We didn't have a red light in the town. And he was in the parade. I was in the marching band, and we gave the parade.
And this is Arkansas, right?
Yes.
Okay.
He There's a little town, if I could say the name of the town.
Yeah, go ahead.
Rising, Arkansas.
Okay.
Where I was raised. Now, there's a little town down the road about 8 miles called Kingsland. They used to have a sign up say birthplace of Johnny Cash, but from what I understand, he really wasn't born right there, but in the nearby area. I mean, it's a really small place. And, but after the parade, they built a stage on our football field, and he gave a free concert on our football field.
I bet he packed the place.
Oh, it was great. I mean, the town was only like 2,000 people.
The whole town was there.
Yeah, everybody was there. It was wonderful.
Did he come out and say, "Hello, everybody, I'm Johnny Cash"?
Oh, yeah. His wife was there. As a matter of fact, he gave one of his shirts, a pair of boots, a black shirt with an eagle embroidered on the back to our mayor, and they had it in the courthouse for like 20 years, hanging up in a glass case.
I was never into Johnny Cash and his music until the movie Walk the Line came out with Joaquin Phoenix and Reese Witherspoon. And,
well, I'll tell you,
they did a great job, and we started playing some of his bumper music a little bit more than we had been. He did a great job. Hey, thanks for the call. Time for a few more callers, and then you want to hear something really strange. We'll have that for you really soon. Let's go to our wild card line. Go ahead, please. Hi.
Hello, this is George.
Yep, it sure is.
Oh, okay. George in Odessa, Texas. I was wanting to talk about the big big black cat, the panther. I've seen a couple of them over here in Odessa area and off the Pecos. It's pretty interesting that they come down. Some of them come down from Mexico. I was hunting one day and seen one. It was pretty interesting. Freaked me out. It was a pretty big animal. It moved pretty quick.
You're lucky you didn't get attacked by this thing.
Yeah, we were looking for a whitetail, and we were just along with the thing.
How'd you like to do that? Yeah, looking for deer, and all of a sudden one of those critters comes by. You got to be very careful. You know, I've been talking about how people just aren't acting right. And this guy was on his way to his office for a meeting, and he witnessed an accident. And he called into his boss, and he got the answering machine, so he left this message.
Hey, Mark, excuse me. I'm on my way to 3768. Kind of got hung up. It's raining out here. I'm on my way into Dallas. Jerry's probably going to be calling you to find out where I'm at, if he can't get a hold of me, I'm sure. So thought, whoa, man, I just had a wreck right in front of me. This guy ran a red light and hit four old ladies in an Impala. Just kind of clipped them, turned them around right in front of me, man. That was close. Oh, now this guy's getting out of his car. He's got a white shirt on with a tie and a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. He's throwing his hands up in the air like it was their fault. Oh, hold on. He's going over to their window. She's rolling down the window. Oh, man, I think she sprayed him with pepper spray, man. He's holding his head, he's holding his face, and he's on his knee. She's getting out. She's beating him with an umbrella. The other women are getting out, too. There's one woman with a little black person. She's tomahawking him, man. She looks like a Sunbelt 20 horsepower jackhammer. Blah, blah, blah. We got another woman that's she's hitting him like he's got a cattle prod, man. She's got an umbrella and she's sticking it in his side. Oh, there's another one that it's a little woman that looks like Mother Goose. She beat him. She's got this U-bit bag. She beat him. She's got this U-bit bag. It's huge. It's about the size of her. She's about 4 foot nothing. She hit him over the head. Everything went all over the place. Her Bible fell. She just hit him in the head with a Bible. She picked this Bible up, and she lifted it way over her head. It was a hardback NVI version. Oh, they're still beating the out of this guy. She picked his Bible up and raised it up above her head and just beamed the guy. This guy's not getting up.
they're still, oh, God, they're still hitting them. The one with the little black person is still, oh, pieces of them. okay, he's up on the little woman's just beating him again with that big bag. He's running to his car. He's out of here. The little bitty Mother Goose woman. She's stuck into him as he's driving off. Oh, I wish you would have been here, man. Oh, this is too good.
I keep that around just for that guy's laugh.
There we go.
We needed that, didn't we? For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasur, Ian Punnett, Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.